Sporty greetings to all of our Voice of America listeners. I'm VOA's Andrew Palcheski in Washington, filling in for Sonny Young. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up!
We start today's show with updates on two stories that we brought you earlier this week. On Wednesday, we reported that National Basketball Association star Russell Westbrook had tied Oscar Robertson's record for the most triple-doubles in an NBA season, with 41. And we told you that Westbrook had a chance to beat that mark and claim the record outright on Wednesday night. Unfortunately for Westbrook, it was, as they say, close but no cigar. He had an impressive 45 points, 10 assists, but only 9 rebounds, leaving him one rebound shy of his 42nd record-breaking triple-double. But even though he missed that historic mark, Westbrook did hit a key three-pointer with 14 seconds left in the game to give his Oklahoma City Thunder the 103-100 victory over the Memphis Grizzlies. Westbrook's next chance at history is tonight when the Thunder take on the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix, Arizona. And a follow-up to yesterday's story on the 81st Masters Golf Tournament at the Augusta National Golf Club in the U.S. state of Georgia. We reported that it was unclear whether or not world number one golfer Dustin Johnson would compete in the tournament after falling down a flight of stairs and injuring his back on Wednesday. Well, just after our show on Thursday, and just before he was set to tee off, Johnson pulled out of the tournament, saying that his back injury was just too severe for him to play.
Yeah, I couldn't get through it. Backswing was fine. I could make a good backswing, but every time down, like right at impact, it would just catch. And so, yeah, I just don't feel like there's any chance of me even competing. So it hurts. It's I was doing everything I could to try to play. Obviously I can make some swings. It's just can't swing full. I can't make my normal swing, and I just don't feel like there's any chance that I'll be able to compete.
Johnson was one of the favorites to win the tournament and is only the second world number one player to skip the Masters. The first was another name that we mentioned yesterday, Tiger Woods, who missed the tournament in 2014 because of back surgery. The Masters wraps up this Sunday in Augusta, Georgia, and after one round of play on Thursday, American Charlie Hoffman is in the lead with a 7-under par score of 65. Moving on now to look at sports in Africa, here's Sunny Side of Sports contributor Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria, with this update.
We begin with Leicester Nigerian forward Ahmed Musa, who is considering legal action after his agent Tony Harris described reports that he was arrested for beating up his wife on her birthday as inaccurate. The Nigerian international, who joined the Premier League champions last summer from CSK Moscow for £16 million, was questioned by Leicester police in the early hours of Wednesday morning after they were called to a disturbance at his home. Ahmed Musa was later released without charge, and his agent has insisted reports of the 24-year-old's arrest hours after he had wished his wife Jamila happy birthday on Instagram had been exaggerated. And now to the latest FIFA ranking. Egypt are the best team in Africa after they moved up one spot from the 20th position in March to the 19th in the latest FIFA ranking released on Thursday. Senegal are second in Africa with 805 points. However, the Teranga Lions are 30th in the world. Cameroon are the third best team on the continent. The African champions, who the Super Eagles play in the World Cup qualifiers in August, dropped a place from 32 in March to 33. Burkina Faso are fourth on the continent. They moved up a place from 36 in March to 35. The Democratic Republic of Congo are sixth, while Tunisia dropped 5 places to be placed seventh, and Ghana are eighth after dropping 2 places in the latest ranking. Ivory Coast, who dropped a spot, and Morocco, who dropped 4 four places complete the African top 10. Brazil, who booked their place in the Russia 2018 World Cup with matches to spare, returned to the summit of the rankings after 7 years. The Samba Boys moved from second position in March to become the best football team in the world with 1,661 points. Argentina, who were previously on top, are now second, while Germany and Chile retain their third and fourth places. A host of former and active football stars are set to play an international exhibition match against human trafficking, insurgency and terrorism. No less than 46 African football legends have confirmed their participation in the Clash of Legends, a charity peace football match being organized by the Nwankwo Kanu Heart Foundation and the Nelson Mandela Foundation for Charitable Initiatives. The match will hold in Lagos at the Teslim Balogun Stadium. Among the many stars expected will be two-time former World Footballer of the Year and European Award winner George Opongwe of Liberia and Abede Ayew-Pele of Ghana. Others expected include Patrick Mboma of Cameroon, Benny McCarthy from South Africa, Anthony Beaufort of Ghana, Kalusha Bwalya of Zambia, Lucas Radebe and Mark Fish of South Africa, among others. And that's it. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you very much, Samson, for the latest from Africa.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoje here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Hey there, this is Shauna Renee, the lady DJ and host of Soul Lounge. Every Sunday at 1400 UTC, I choose an artist that you and I love, and we break down their entire career while listening to their biggest hits. That's what we do here on the Soul Lounge. Once again, every Sunday, 1400 UTC, right here.
The Voice of America, VOA.
And in more African soccer news, Ahmad Ahmad, the new head of the Confederation of African Football, spoke to reporters in Johannesburg today about a new chapter for the Confederation, following Issa Hayatou's 29-year reign as CAF president. Ahmad pledged more transparency and better governance going forward and said he'll turn to some of Africa's biggest soccer stars, including Didier Drogba, for input on how to evolve the CAF. Ahmad also made two big declarations about the evolution of African football. First, he said that he may consider moving the Africa Cup of Nations from the winter to the summer, based on input he receives from players and officials. Second, he vowed to review Africa's performance in the World Cup to increase the continent's standing on the soccer world stage. He specifically cited the disparity between the Junior and Senior World Cups, telling reporters, "We have to review the development of football in Africa to find out why the juniors can win titles, but why at the senior level, we stop at the quarterfinals." Well, horse riding isn't new to Africans. Many in countries like Lesotho, South Africa, and Zimbabwe ride in their villages or patrol the farms they work on horseback. But polo is a pursuit generally played by rich elites across the world, and mostly by super wealthy whites. However, in South Africa, this is changing. The sport's attracting a growing number of black Africans who are shattering the stereotypes. Darren Taylor has this encore report, part of his series on fringe sports gaining support in South Africa.
The one thing I like about these South African players, they play a really good classic four-man polo. They know where
TV commentary from a South Africa versus England polo match. The game's played on a very big field. Two teams, each with four players, try to outmaneuver one another on horseback. With long wooden mallets, they try to score more goals than their opponents by hitting a small plastic ball through goalposts.
Polo is expensive. It really is. It's because of the number of horses that we have and the quality of horse flesh that we have and the time that we take to prepare our horses, and that's where the big cost lies, you know.
Craig James is polo manager at the Inanda Club in Johannesburg. He says in the past, only South Africa's white elite could afford to play the game.
In South Africa, a lot of the polo players were from polo playing families, so farmers traditionally. And if you weren't born into a polo family, it's unlikely that you would have been exposed to polo or had the opportunity to play.
But by allowing far less privileged people to use his club's horses and equipment, James is changing the sport's image. Lakheden Singor leads horses to a field to train them. He's part of a new, albeit small, wave of black polo players in South Africa. He's a former groom at the Inanda Club. Singor was raised on a farm near Bulawayo, Zimbabwe.
I love horses because I grew up with horses. And then I started riding horses when I was 9. And now my level of experience riding is 15 years riding horses.
Singor's knowledge and love of horses made him ideal for James's polo development program. Singor puts a bridle on a horse and prepares to ride. He's a tall, slender man. He wears a helmet covered in camouflage print, skin-tight tan pants, and long, shiny brown leather boots. Because of men like Singor, says James, there's now black muscle on South Africa's formerly lily-white polo fields.
Going forward, how the perception's changing is by involving guys like Lucky. Lucky's really critical to the success of my operation here at the Inanda Club. Without him, I couldn't do it. He's got some children that he's coaching, so he functions as my assistant coach.
Singor guides horses on a gallop around a dirt track. He says up until about a year ago, all he knew about polo was that it was a Ralph Lauren clothing label. Until James taught him the game that's now his passion.
I had someone teach me very good to have some rules and stuff like that, like Craig, how we stick with the man, how we play, how it goes, how this and this. So I'm very happy about it. I did very good because it's the thing I never done before.
Singor says his relatives and friends often don't know what to say when he tells them he's a polo player.
No, they don't know what it is, but they're really excited because polo is all over the world.
As an agitated horse kicks a stable door for food before crunching a carrot, Singor explains he's now teaching the next generation of African polo players.
I've got some young ones coming up, some young juniors, so I'm looking forward to teach them to have some skills. I hope to have more teaching the young ones to grow up and show us the skills.
James describes Singor and his pupils as polo pioneers.
The transformation is kind of happening where we're showcasing more of these guys that are coming from a bit more humble beginnings. And also through the school initiative, we're now making polo accessible because you no longer have to own 5 or 6 horses just to get started. You could come to Inanda and learn how to play rather than having to buy the whole setup and then...
His dream is for polo to be a game played by many black Africans, not just the current few. But for that, James needs more quality, expensive horses.
And that is a limiting factor at the moment, which we are slowly but surely overcoming. And, you know, we're finding sponsors that are getting behind these initiatives and saying, look, let's get behind a guy and push him all the way to the top and see how far he can go.
In the near future, James wants his trainees to compete internationally, including at the Polo World Cup. He's convinced this will happen, especially if South Africa's new elite offers support.
I think if you look at the wealthy in this country now, a lot of these guys are black guys. Very, very good businessmen, leaders of the industry. Having more black players playing will involve more of these guys.
He also wants to get poor kids off the streets and onto polo horses while educating them academically at the same time.
They may not become professional polo players. I'm fine with that. but if we've bettered their life and they meet someone through polo in the industry which puts them in some fancy corporate job one day, you know, that's the ultimate goal.
For now, it's only a few men like Nsingo who are kick-starting Africa's polo revolution. But the so-called sport of kings may eventually see new, unexpected faces ascending the throne. For the Sunny Side of Sport, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Thank you, Darren. I'm Andrew Palcheski in Washington, filling in for Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Seventy-five years ago, Voice of America made its first broadcast. Today, we broadcast in over 45 languages all over the world. We broadcast in every means that people could possibly want to receive their news and information. We use radio still. We use television. We broadcast for the web, for mobile, and if new forms of communication are invented, we'll be there too. Our mission is really, really simple. We give neutral, fair, objective, independent news and information to people who have no other access to it. And we tell America's story. And America's story is rich and full. It goes from the entrepreneurial climate of Silicon Valley to our great universities to health and medicine and medical advances. It's also the story of America's diaspora, the people who came here from all over the world. I started my journalistic career more than 50 years ago. And here today at Voice of America, I remember just why I became a journalist. It's such a privilege to be working here with the great men and women who are telling America's story and providing neutral news and information around the world. I'm so happy to be here at Voice of America as it celebrates its 75th anniversary. And I feel proud to welcome it into the next 75 years.
Voice of America! And that was VOA Director Amanda Bennett with a message for you, our listeners, as VOA celebrates 75 years. Joining me now in the studio is my VOA colleague, Doug Bernard, who's here once again to talk about the latest trends in the sports world.
Hello, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Doug.
Sporty greetings. I was going to say I recognize that voice speaking to us just there.
It's our boss.
It's our boss. Well, it is that time of year. It is time for the annual Masters Golf Tournament taking place down in Augusta, Georgia. Now, for those who follow golf, this is, I think, really kind of, I think, one of the preeminent events, if not the preeminent event in certainly U.S. golf and certainly up there in international golfing, I would have to say. And in part because it just is such a storied old competition. There was a little drama, and I think you mentioned that earlier today or earlier this program. Dustin Johnson, who was ranked number one, was well expected to, you know, really maybe just take it all the way to victory. Had to suddenly pull out. He kind of this freak back accident. He took a misstep and just everything kind of got all out of whack. So the field has all kind of shuffled around a little bit now, I think, at this point. At least that's what a lot of the analysts are saying.
Yeah, there are a lot of new favorites that have percolated upwards as a result of this.
There are a lot of new names and new favorites, but there are some old ones as well. Now, here's where we're standing right now. Let's see. The leaders, and if you're looking at the leaderboard, Charlie Hoffman is in first position, Sergio Garcia second, William McGirt third. These are names that are not going to be familiar to a lot of people. And then all bunched up at four, Ryan Moore, Phil Mickelson, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Søren Kjeldsen, and Rory McIlroy. So some old names in there. Certainly, you know, there's a lot of golf left to play today, Saturday, and Sunday as well. You know, too early to count the old guys out of it. For those who are interested in following more, kind of like in an hourly update, that sort of thing, on Twitter, of course, the Masters Tournament has its own handle. It is @TheMasters. And I've been going through it. It's really... I think it's a great news feed. I mean, they post interviews with players. They're posting updates as to what's, you know, what's happening in terms of the leaderboard. You can watch, you know, some of the actual shots that they superimpose with these great graphics, like, you know, the actual path that the ball takes. I mean, if you're really into golf, this is, you know, super. Do you play golf?
I don't play golf, as much to my father's chagrin. I think he wanted me to play golf. But, you know, even for fans or people who aren't fans of golf, it's just fascinating information. Yeah. It's a way to see golf in a different light.
Yeah. One of my best friends, Dave Escola, says golf is how straight men have sex together. so I don't know if I'm going to go with that, but I'm going to get in trouble for that.
To each his own, I guess.
But it is, and it's, you know, something, it's, I have to say, it's amazing to watch. If you have, you know, one of those big high definition screens, the coverage is just lush. It's like a movie.
Yeah, it's verdant greens, and just it's amazing to look at the scenery surrounding the sport.
So beautiful. Anyway, so that's happening, which is often happens this time of year. I mean, you know, spring is coming. Things are in bloom. To every season, turn, I guess. So we're starting baseball. We're starting really getting into tennis and golf now. But, of course, there is another sport that is winding down this weekend.
That's right. It's winding down. Perhaps as the weather gets warmer, this cold sport is winding down.
There you go. Yeah. Yep. So this weekend marks the last games played in regular season NHL professional hockey. I will be going, in fact, to the very last game that the Capitals play here in Washington. Should be fun on Sunday. But there's another big sort of ending, I think, happening in hockey. And for those who have followed the NHL, whatever city you root for, they will know what this means and what this is. The old Joe Louis Arena in Detroit, where the Detroit Red Wings have played since 1979, when they moved from the old barn at the Olympia, they are playing their last games ever there. They're going to be moving to a brand new stadium. It has a lot of people very emotional. There's a tremendous amount of memories. If you look at that condensed period, that, say, 25, 30-year period, it was really a time when Detroit Red Wings were the preeminent team, not just in Detroit professional sports, but I think in NHL hockey. And I think, you know, you could argue one of the probably best managed teams ever.
A sports fan, you knew this team in the 80s.
Yes, just like if you are a sports fan, you know who the England Patriots are now. Right. Whether you like them or you don't, there's no doubting that they are tremendously well managed, and great good fortune and great good talent on that team. So the Joe is closing down. It's coming under the wrecking ball. Of course, I grew up in Michigan, and it's a little sad for me. I remember going to see concerts there and hockey games, of course. And, of course, one of the great traditions that will also be ending, at least there, is the Octopus Fling.
Explain this to our listeners, because I know the background of this, but if you hear this just from the onset, you say, what the heck is going on?
So this goes back to the days when NHL Stanley Cup victories were determined by two best out of seven series. So you needed to win eight games to win the Stanley Cup once you made it to the playoffs. Well, of course, octopus have eight tentacles. So back in the 50s, during a slow point, Detroit was trailing behind, I think it was the Rangers, I don't quote me on that, but somebody from a local food market, Eastern Market, brought an octopus, and he tossed it down onto the ring, kind of like, you know, whatever, and people were sort of shocked. It became this great tradition, where people toss octopuses down onto the ice during playoff season.
And these are not live octopi.
No, these are not live octopi, but there can be a lot of them. And, of course, the Joe Sobotka, the longtime Zamboni driver there, he has to go down. He's taken to kind of swinging them around, it just gets the whole place going. So the last octopi, I think, will likely be thrown at the Joe this weekend. A lot of sad fans, but, things move on, things change, and Detroit will just have to make do with a luxe new arena.
Yeah, you'll always have the memories and the octopi. So you'll always have that. Thank you very much, Doug Bernard. That wraps up our April 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Peter Hundley, and thank all of you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Andrew Palcheski in Washington. Have a good weekend, and we will see you back here on Monday for Sunny's return. Until then, that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
President Donald Trump recently welcomed Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi to the White House. Recognizing Egypt as one of the traditional pillars of stability in the Middle East and a reliable U.S. partner, President Trump said, "We are very much behind President al-Sisi. He's done a fantastic job in a very difficult situation. We are very much behind Egypt and the people of Egypt." During their meetings, President Trump reaffirmed the deep and abiding U.S. commitment to Egypt's security, stability, and prosperity. President al-Sisi has taken a number of bold steps on very sensitive issues since becoming president in 2014. He has called for reform and moderation of Islamic discourse, initiated courageous and historic economic reforms, and sought to reestablish Egypt's regional leadership role. President al-Sisi has also led Egypt's campaign to defeat a long-running terrorist threat in the Sinai. The United States seeks to support President al-Sisi's efforts in all of these areas. The U.S.-Egypt relationship has historically been driven by security, and that will remain a key component of the engagement with Egypt, said a senior White House official. The U.S. and Egyptian militaries have built close relationships, and many military officers from Egypt have trained at U.S. military installations. The United States supports al-Sisi's ambition to develop a comprehensive counterterrorism approach that involves military, political, economic, as well as social efforts. But President Trump also wants to increase the focus on economic and commercial cooperation in the bilateral relationship. Building a more stable and productive economy is a critical step to ensuring long-term stability in Egypt. To this end, Egypt has begun a necessary economic reform plan that will strengthen the Egyptian economy if it is fully executed. There's no question the transition in their economy will be difficult, but Egypt will be stronger if it follows through on its reform plan, said a senior administration official. "We will fight terrorism, and we're going to be friends for a long, long period of time," said President Trump. "We have a great bond with the people of Egypt, and I look forward to working with President al-Sisi."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at voanews.com/editorials.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.